Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm. As expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Jim Petzer, your host on The Raw Deal. I begin with the collapse of the Silicon Valley Bank out in California, but as branches many other parts of the country. Massive lines have formed even in the San Francisco branch. We know the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation insures up to $250,000 per depositor per ownership category. If customers were holding more than that, they're at risk of losing anything over $250,000. According to earlier reports, 90% of the SVB customers had more than $250,000 in the bank. I had a phone call from a highly reliable source saying Oprah was concerned because she has over $500 million in the Valley Bank. That's half a billion. The New York PD responded to a Silicon Valley Bank branch in Manhattan after investors showed up wanting to pull money out of their accounts. On Friday, it was shut down by regulators in the biggest bank failure since the 2008 liquidity crisis, with $173 billion in holdings. The Fed interest rate is at 4.57%, and $117 billion of the Silicon Valley Bank securities are yielding only 1.56 to 1.66, which is causing a run on the bank. California regulators shut down the bank, and the FDIC has taken over. If enough of the customers pull out their money, then the bank may be bankrupt. Startups may be wiped out. The crash might even cause a recession. So there's a lot of concern and anxiety over what's going on here. A massive number of Reddit leftists say they're not receiving paychecks due to the Silicon Valley bank collapse. Their businesses are collapsing. There are some tweets. So many companies, including where I work, haven't paid their employees. Today was supposed to be our payday. Ditto. My manager said the FDIC insures only up to $250,000 per account, and our company was already cutting costs left and right to stay afloat. Doesn't bode well. Another. I'm one of those who will miss being paid. Our tiny little startup has been trying so hard for funding. We finally got some enough to put our runway out to almost a year and a half, which is awesome. With events today, however, no land, my not getting paid, but the FDIC only covers a part of what we had in the bank. So, after endlessly struggling, my employer couldn't pay me today though through their payroll, so they Zelled me, laughing my ass off, meaning Zelle, of course, is just an electronic transfer of money, but if they don't have the money, it's going to bounce. Another, my friend just called me. His company had $15 million with SVB, and they initiated a wire transfer to move the money, but SVB only sent $250,000 this morning. His company is going under. They won't be able to make payroll. Meanwhile, there's a lot more going on here. Deep dives into the background. SVB's lobbying group fought proposals to bolster deposit insurance months before Silicon Valley Bank collapsed. Its DC advocacy group said the FDIC initiative would unduly burden banks. In the months before Silicon Valley Bank collapsed, the bank's lobbying groups fought a proposal requiring financial institutions to increase payments into the deposit insurance fund that protects depositors from bank failures. As lawmakers now face calls to expand deposit insurance to stay off a wider bank run, the battle shows why that insurance has remained limited and why any new initiative to require banks to pay for more such insurance could face obstacles in Washington. Put simply, powerful banking interests and their allies in Congress have made clear they oppose measures that would force banks to pay higher premiums or to fund depositors' insurance. On Sunday, federal regulators announced an emergency action that fully protects all depositors at the bank, and they pledge that any losses to the deposit insurance fund to support uninsured depositors will be recovered by a special assessment on banks. Last year, bank lobbying groups mobilized against the FDIC proposal to raise banks' insurance premium to shore up that deposit fund's reserves, which had fallen below the minimum required by law. Lobbying groups representing Silicon Valley Bank argued that risk of bank failure is low and that requiring banks to pay more into the fund would harm financial institutions' bottom line, at the risk of their investors, of course. Meanwhile, regulators rush to contain SVB fallout. Biden vows to fix the mess. U.S. authorities unveiled sweeping measures Sunday to rescue depositors' money in full from failed Silicon Valley Bank and to promise institutions help in meeting customers' needs, as they announced a second tech-friendly bank had been closed by regulators. With the two bank failures rattling nerves, President Joe Biden vowed to hold fully accountable the people responsible for this mess and said he would deliver remarks on Monday morning, that would be today, to maintain a resilient banking system. The American people and American businesses can have confidence that their bank deposit will be there when they need them, Biden said. In a joint statement, financial agencies, including the Department of the Treasury, said SVB depositors would have access to all of their money starting Monday, and that American taxpayers will not have to foot the bill. Ha, huh, I say, fat chance. The core goal of the move was to reassure bank customers they would have their money to meet payroll, to keep their businesses operating, and to make sure households are able to pay the rent or the mortgage or any of their other bills, Federal Reserve officials told reporters Sunday night. The Fed, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation and Treasury, said in their statement that depositors in Signature Bank, a New York-based regional-size lender with significant cryptocurrency exposure that was shuttered on Sunday after its stock price tanked, would also be made whole. And in a potentially major development, The Fed announced it would make extra funding available to banks to help them meet the needs of depositors, which would include withdrawals. We're taking decisive action to protect the U.S. economy by strengthening public confidence in our banking system, the agency said. The U.S. banking system remains resilient and on a solid foundation, due in large part to reforms in banking industry safeguards undertaken after the financial crisis of 2008. Those reforms, combined with today's actions, demonstrate our commitment to take the necessary steps to ensure that depositors' savings remain safe. Meanwhile, Gateway Pundit tweeted from Janet Yellen, "No federal government bailout of Silicon Valley Bank. Economy is in good shape." That's ridiculous on multiple counts. The economy is in terrible shape. And the very idea they're not going to bail out in order to save a potential run on banks across the country is simply ridiculous. Meanwhile, we have multiple developments in Ukraine. A massive hit took place on a secret NATO U.S. command and control bunker in Kiev, wiping out virtually all the leadership from the NATO and the United States that had been running the war on behalf of Ukraine. This was a devastating blow. It may or may not be, as a consequence, probably rather because Russia is clearly taking Bucholt and that is proving to be the decisive turning point of the war. There's a new revelation. NATO will deliver to Zelensky a plan for the dismemberment of Ukraine. Where will the new borders be? A plan to divide Ukraine is being studied by Americans and their allies, as Noah Rothman reveals. The publication of the National Review confirms the bad climate that prevails in many Western capitals. It was preceded by revelations in the Washington Post and the Wall Street Journal. Therefore, the fatal question is no longer whether Ukraine will be dismembered, but where its new borders will be. The Americans, like many in the West, are trying to prevent the worst-case scenario, the complete collapse of Ukraine, which will lead Russian forces to occupy Donbass, Kharkov, Nikolaev, and Odessa after that. American Enterprise Institute analyst Hal Brands revealed what Biden admin wants in Ukraine. Washington's goal is a Ukraine that is militarily defensible, politically independent, and economically viable. Fat chance. I mean, that's just ridiculous. This does not necessarily include the recapture of difficult areas such as eastern Donbass or Crimea. According to the National Review, Western enthusiasm for the Ukrainian issue will continue to wane until the Zelensky government is presented with a fait accompli. At this point, Ukraine will literally be divided with the approval of its so-called supporters. Ukraine will not be able to resist Russia, and the West will need a huge amount of military equipment and access to foreign intelligence data to counterattack in Donbass and Crimea. At the same time, Russia is not going to retreat from the new territories. In this case, the fragmentation of Ukraine looks like the most realistic scenario. By that time, the armed forces of Ukraine will be very exhausted and weak, and therefore will not be able to withstand the blows from the Russian troops. Because of this, they will not be able to reach the 1991 Ukrainian border. Here's another article, by the way. Ukraine's dismemberment plan delivered to Zelensky by France, Britain, and Germany. You forget territories, you start negotiation with Russia. A destabilized Ukrainian state on NATO's border may be an acceptable proposition in Berlin, Paris, and Washington, but it will not be acceptable to Poland, Slovakia, or the Baltic states. In the U.S., an Associated Press poll found that fewer than half of Americans say they support arming Ukraine, down from 60% last May. Similarly, an Ipsos poll found support for statements such as, "We should not intervene," and "My country cannot afford to provide financial support to Ukraine," is increasing in places like France, Germany, Italy, the Netherlands, Poland, and the UK. An outright Russian victory resulting in the possession of all of Ukraine, the annexation of its eastern and coastal regions to the Russian Federation, and the replacement of the Zelensky government with a pro-Russian regime is now a distant prospect. The will of Ukraine is the recapture of all Ukrainian territory, including the Donbass and the Crimean Peninsula. But how? Through a combined offensive that will break through the contact line in Donbass? Russian forces will be forced to retreat to more defensive positions in southern Ukraine and across the Russian border. This would force Russian forces to reinforce their south and central groups, leaving the territory they hold along the Black and Azov Sea coasts vulnerable. Not a chance. Recapturing these territories would be difficult, but even more logical than the prospect of recapturing Crimea. You can see this is a very optimistic report here. In the view of Mick Ryan, a retired Australian general, a view shared as noted in Politico by former Ukrainian Defense Minister Andrei Zagorodnik, liberating the peninsula would require a large-scale air, sea, and land operation to proceed in multiple axes against key ground targets, and 100,000 or so Ukrainian troops, supported by a ground blockade and a fire support base in the north. No operations involving air and sea can be developed by Ukraine at present. I mean, this is just a fantasy scenario. It has no realistic prospect whatsoever. Russia will never relinquish Crimea. But putting real pressure on the peninsula could also put Crimean territory on the table as part of a negotiated ceasefire deal. No, I don't think so. Such a victory would require transporting munitions, weapon platforms, and air defenses, as well as maintaining training and information sharing centers in perpetuity. It may also demand security guarantees for the West. Ain't gonna happen. And what security guarantees from the West are worth a damn? If we could negotiate the Minsk agreement with Russia in bad faith, there is no possible basis for Russia agreeing to any security guarantees of any kind by the West. It ain't on the table. It's no longer possible. We forfeited our credibility. We are liars, bald-faced liars. And the Minsk agreements, if one needed only the most recent demonstration as conclusive proof, establish that beyond any reasonable doubt, Russia can no longer have any faith in the West, and in my opinion is among the major reasons Russia has pivoted to the East to now work on developing economic relation with China, where the natural resources that Russia was going to share with the West, with Europe, that were going to create a new economic powerhouse on the continent, have been forfeited. Instead, Russia now will share its vast natural resource with China, and the two of them will become the economic center of the world. Mark my words, it's already happening. BRICS, Shanghai Cooperative, so forth, the Silk Road Initiative and all that. China and Russia combined, because of the stupidity and transigence of the West and colossally bad, really, perhaps the dumbest decisions ever made by political leaders in recent history have led to this calamity. Because the last outcome the West wanted was an alliance between China and Russia, which is now guaranteed. It's in cement. Meanwhile, talking about what Ukraine could possibly do, no doubt this would be a fragile peace, one that could be undone by many factors. But according to this article, it's not out of the realm of possibility. In my opinion, it is out of the realm of possibility. However, it is easier to envision a much less rosy scenario. A partial Russian victory could also cement Moscow's cooperation with Beijing, paving the way for the introduction of offensive Chinese weapons into Europe. It would also terrify America's partners in the Pacific, would either have to make peace with a rising China at the expense of their relation with the U.S. and its allies, or fight an impending conflict in their neighborhoods. I guarantee you they're not going to fight a conflict in their neighborhoods. They are going to make peace with a rising China at the expense of their relation with the U.S. and its allies. Take that to the bank. And in this instance, the bank ain't going to collapse. Thus, the West will arrange peace to the division of Ukraine, according to the National Review. The West allows for the end of the conflict in Ukraine by dividing it in two, columnist Noah Rothman wrote in a March 5th op-ed for the National Review. It is happening. In my opinion, this is the outcome. I see no way out. Meanwhile, a truly fascinating piece I've just published on my blog at jamesahfetzer.org. Alistair Crook. How could Western intelligence have got it wrong again? They didn't. They had other purposes. This is fascinating. You got to understand how intelligence is being shaped to fit the policy rather than policy being shaped to fit the intelligence. This is getting things back-ass afterward. Alistair Crook. The West now faces the task of defusing the landmine of their own electorate's conviction of a Ukraine win and of Russian humiliation. In other words, we got to take all back the propaganda that's been issued to the American people over and over and over again. Laurie Johnson, an ex-CIA analyst, writes, I no longer hold clearances and have not had access to the classified intelligence assessments. However, I have heard that the finished intelligence being supplied to U.S. policymakers continues to declare that Russia is on the ropes and their economy is crumbling. Also, analysts insist that the Ukrainians are beating the Russians. Johnson responds that, lacking valid human sources, Western agencies are almost wholly dependent today on liaison reporting, that is, from friendly foreign intelligence services, without conducting the due diligence by cross-checking discrepancies with other reporting. In practice, this largely means Western reporting simply replicates Kiev's public relations line. But there does occur a huge problem when marrying Kiev's output, as Johnson says, to UK reports for corroboration. The reality is, UK reporting itself is also based on what Ukraine is saying. This is known as false collateral. That is, when that which is used for corroboration and validation actually derives from the same single source, it becomes deliberately a propaganda multiplier. In plain words, however, all these points are red herrings, bluntly. So-called Western intelligence is no longer the sincere attempt to understand a complex reality. but rather has become the tool to falsify a nuanced reality in order to attempt to manipulate the Russian psyche toward a collective defeatism in respect not just to the Ukraine, but to the idea that Russia should remain as a sovereign whole. Remember the plans to divide Russia into seven different parts? And to the extent that lies are fabricated to accustom the Russian public to inevitable defeat, the obverse edge clearly is intended to train the Western public toward the groupthink that victory is inevitable and that Russia is an unreformed evil empire which threatens Europe. This is no accident. It is highly purposeful. It is behavioral psychology at work. The head-spinning disorientation created through the COVID pandemic, the constant rain of data-driven model analyses, the labeling of anything critical of the uniform messages as anti-social disinformation, enabled Western governments to persuade their citizens that lockdown was the only rational answer to the virus. It was not true, as we now know. But the pilot behavioral nudge psychology trial worked better even than its own architects had imagined. Professor of clinical psychology, Matthias Desmet, has explained that mass disorientation does not form in a vacuum. It arises throughout history from a collective psychosis that has followed a predictable script. Just as with lockdowns, governments have used behavioral psychology to instill fear and isolation to mass large groups of people into herds. Right after this break.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
I'm sharing with you a brilliant article about by an Alistair Crook about how the Western PSYOP is really basically backfired and set up a situation of false expectations among the public that now needs to be reversed. Professor of Clinical Psychology Matthias Diermit has explained that mass disorientation does not form in a vacuum. It arises throughout history from a collective psychosis that has followed a predictable script. Just as with lockdowns, governments have used behavioral psychology to instill fear and isolation to mass large groups of people into herds, where toxic sneering at any contrariness cold shoulders all critical thinking or analysis. It is more comfortable being inside the herd than out. The dominant characteristic here is remaining loyal to the group, even when the policy is working badly and its consequences disturb the conscience of members. Loyalty to the group becomes the highest form of morality. That loyalty requires each member to avoid raising controversial issues, questioning weak arguments, or calling a halt to wishful thinking. The groupthink allows some self-imagined reality to detach, to drift further and further from any connection to reality, and then to transit into delusion, always drawing on the like-minded peer cheerleaders for its validation and extended radicalization. So it's goodbye to traditional intelligence and welcome to Western Intelligence 101. Geopolitics no longer revolves around a grasp on reality. It is about the installation of ideological pseudo-realism, which is the universal installation of a singular group think, such that everyone lives passively by it until it is far too late to change course. Superficially, this may seem clever, new psyops, even cool. It is not. It is dangerous. By deliberately working on deeply ingrained fears and trauma, such as the Great Patriotic War for Russians in World War II, it awakens a type of multi-generational existential plight within the collective unconscious, that of total annihilation, which is a danger that America has never faced and toward which there is zero American empathetic understanding. Perhaps by resurrecting long collective memories of plague in European countries such as Italy, Western governments have found that they were able to mobilize their citizens around a policy of coercion that otherwise ran wholly against their own interests. But nations have their own distinctive myths and civilizational mores. If that were the purpose, to acclimatize Russians to defeat and ultimate Balkanization, Western propaganda has not only failed, but it has achieved the converse. Russians have coalesced closely together against an existential Western threat and are preparing to go to the wall if necessary in defeating it. Let those implications sink in. On the other hand, falsely promoting a picture of inevitable success by the West inevitably has raised expectations of a political outcome that is not only not feasible, but which recedes further into the far horizon as these fantastical claims of Russian setbacks persuade European leaders that Russia can accept an outcome in line with their constructed false reality. Another own goal, the West now faces the task of defusing the landmine of their own electorate's conviction of a Ukraine win and of Russian humiliation and decomposition. There will be anger and further distrust for the elites in the West to follow. Existential risk ensures when people believe nothing that the elites say. Plainly put, this resort to clever nudge theories has succeeded only in toxifying the prospect for political discourse. Neither the U.S. nor Russia can now move directly to pure political discourse. First, the parties inevitably must come to some tacit psychological assimilation of two quite disconnected realities, now hyped into palpable vital beings through these psychological intelligence techniques. There will be no acceptance by either side of the validity or moral rightness of the other's reality. Yet its emotional contents must be acknowledged psychically, together with the traumas underlying them, if politics is to be unlocked. In short, this Western exaggerated psyops, is likely to lengthen the war until facts on the ground finally grind the contrasting expectations closer to what may be the new possibility. Ultimately, when perceived realities cannot be matched and nuanced, war rubs one or the other into more emollient form. The degeneracy in Western intelligence did not start with a recent collective excitement at the possibilities of nudge psychology. The first steps in this direction began with a shift in ethos reaching back to the Clinton-Thatcher era, in which the intelligence services were neoliberalized. No longer was the role of devil's advocate, of bringing bad news, hard-edged realism, to the relevant political leadership valued. Instead, what was inserted was a radical shift toward business school practice of services being tasked with adding value to existing government policies and even of creating a market system in intelligence. The political managers demanded good news, and to make it stick, funding was tied to the value added, with administrators skilled at managing bureaucracy moved into leadership jobs. It marked the end to classical intelligence, which always was an art rather than a science. In short, it was the outset to fixing the intelligence around the policies to add value, rather than the traditional function of shaping policies to sound analyses. In the U.S., the politicalization of intelligence reached its apex with Dick Cheney's initiative of a Team B intelligence unit reporting personally to him. It was intended to furnish the anti-intelligence to combat the intelligence service output. Of course, the Team B initiative shook confidence among the analysts and bypassed the work of the traditional cadre, just as Cheney had intended. He had a war, the Iraq War, to justify. But there were separately other structural shifts. Firstly, by 2000, woke narcissism had begun to eclipse strategic thought, creating its own novel groupthink. The West just could not shake off the sense of itself at the center of the universe, albeit no longer in a racial sense, but its awakening to victim politics, requiring endless redress and reparations, and such woke values serendipitously seemed to anoint the West with a renewed global moral primacy. In a parallel shift, U.S. neocons piggybacked on this new woke universalism to cement the meme of empire matters primordially. The unspoken corollary to this, of course, is that original values of the American Republic or Europe cannot be reconceived and brought forward into the present as long as liberal empire groupthink configures them as a threat to Western security. The conundrum and struggle lies at the heart of U.S. politics today. Yet the question remains, just how can the intelligence being supplied to U.S. policymakers insist that Russia is imploding economically and that Ukraine is winning against what can be easily observed facts on the ground? Well, no problem. Washington think tanks have big finance from the military-industrial world, with a preponderance of these funds going to the neocons, and they're insistent that Russia is a small gas station posing as a state and not a power to be taken seriously. Neocon claws tear at anyone gainsaying their line, and think tanks employ an army of analysts to turn out academic reports suggesting that Russia's industry, to the extent it exists at all, is imploding. Since last March, Western military and economic experts have been regularly as clockwork predicting that Russia has run out of missiles, run out of drones, run out of tanks, run out of artillery shells, and is expending its manpower, throwing human waves of untrained troops upon the Ukrainian siege lines. The logic is plain, but again, flawed. If a combined NATO struggles to supply artillery shells, Russia, with an economy the size of a small EU state, logically must be worse off. And if only we, the U.S., threaten China hard enough against supplying Russia, then the latter will ultimately run out of munitions, and NATO-supported Ukraine will win. The logic, then, is that a war prolonged until the money runs out must deliver a Russia bereft of munitions, and NATO-supplied Ukraine wins. This framing is entirely wrong because of conceptual differences. Russian history is one of total war that is fought in a long, all-out, uncompromising engagement against an overwhelming peer force. But inherent to this idea is its all-important grounding in the conviction that such wars are fought over the course of years, with their outcomes conditioned by the capacity to surge military production. Conceptually, the U.S. shifted in the 1980s away from its post-war military-industrial paradigm to offshore manufacturing to Asia and to just-in-time supply lines. Effectively, the U.S. and the West shifted in the opposite direction to surge capacity, whereas Russia did not. It kept alive the notion of sustainment, which had contributed to saving Russia during the Great Patriotic War. So, Western intelligence services again got it wrong. They misread the reality? No. They didn't get it wrong. Their purpose was different. The few who got it right were mercilessly caricatured as stooges to make them seem absurd. And Intelligence 101 was reconceived as a purposeful denialism of all off-team thinking, while a majority of Western citizens would live passively in the embrace of the groupthink until too late for them to awaken and change the dangerous course on which their societies were embarked. Unverified Ukrainian reports, liaison reporting, served up to Western leaders, therefore, is not a glitch. It is a feature of the new Intelligence 101 paradigm intended to confuse and dull its electorate. I gotta tell you, that's one of the most brilliant articles I've ever read. I mean, that's absolutely fantastic. And it's on my blog, jameshfetzer.org. That one repays rereading. Let me give you an illustration of how this group think, and notice how, you know, COVID was such a huge manifestation. Jaws hit the floor after Whoopi Goldberg called on Merrick Garland to throw a Fox News host in jail for this absurd reason. And of course, it's going to turn out to be a departure from groupthink, for exercising independent judgment, for looking at evidence, for reporting facts. Democrats have been trying to cancel Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, and virtually everyone else at Fox for years. Now they're demanding one host be thrown in prison. Jaws hit the floor after Whoopi Goldberg called on Merrick Garland to throw a Fox News host in jail. Despite objections for those who actually care about transparency, Democrats' January 6th committee refused to allow the American people to see more than 41,000 hours of security camera footage recorded at the Capitol that day. During the midterm election, Representative Kevin McCarthy promised to release the footage to the public if Republicans took back the House and elected him Speaker. McCarthy followed through with his promise by turning the footage over to Tucker Carlson and his team of journalists and producers at Fox, giving them permission to review it and share their findings with the American people. For the past 2 years, Democrats, the legacy media, and the Rhino establishment have pushed the narrative that former President Trump orchestrated a very organized, super sophisticated insurrection in order for his supporters to carry out a violent coup d'etat to overthrow the entire American government. President Biden labeled the 74 million Americans who voted for Trump as enemies of the state, while Democrats and self-proclaimed journalists called on Biden Attorney General Merrick Garland to throw Trump in prison for the alleged insurrection. However, Tucker blew their phony narrative out of the water by simply allowing Americans to see the footage that Democrats and the rest of the ruling class elites intentionally kept secret and hidden from the public in order to push their propaganda against conservatives. The footage showed that the overwhelming majority of Trump supporters who entered the Capitol on January 6th were merely peaceful sightseers. Some organizing tours for those inside. They snapped pictures and marveled at the history of the building and even helped clean up the building as they walked through, as opposed to the supposed violent insurrectionists Democrats claimed they were. Taken as a whole, the video record does not support the claim that January 6th was an insurrection, Tucker explained. In fact, it demolishes that claim. Democrats erupted into a fury over the fact that the Fox News host had the audacity to air the footage for the nation to see as it collapsed their years-long narrative about that day. First thing in the morning following the initial Fox report, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer rushed to the Senate floor to demand Tucker be removed from television solely because he aired security footage Democrats wanted to keep buried. Rhino's Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell also attacked Tucker for allowing the American people to see the footage and make up their own minds about what happened. But one left-wing media personality believes the Fox News host deserves a much more severe punishment than being taken off the air. She wants him locked up in prison. The View's Whoopi Goldberg told her co-hosts on Wednesday that the Biden Department of Justice should investigate Fox and Tucker for somehow playing a role in recruiting domestic terrorists. I have a question, Goldberg said. How come this is not thought of as being recruiting? How come they're not thinking about this as radicalizing? Why is this not being scrutinized the way they scrutinize other things, she explained, because to me, this should be against the law. You should not be able to lie to the American people knowingly. The First Amendment doesn't allow you to willingly lie. Let me just say a few comments about this absurdity. Whoopi Goldberg is some kind of moron. The First Amendment is a constraint on the federal government to not interfere with the right of the people to speak their piece. Freedom of speech, freedom of the public, it has nothing to do with the true and the false. How often are we going to be in a position to know the difference? Lying means deliberately asserting claims that you know to be false with the intent to mislead. Obviously, Tucker, in showing authentic video footage that has been suppressed by the Democrats, is not seeking to mislead anyone. On the contrary, he is seeking to inform the public. Whoopi and her co-host continued rambling about how Tucker was committing domestic terrorism by simply showing footage from the Capitol and allowing Americans to make up their own minds. So to me, that should be an issue, Whoopi raged. You knew and you know people are still listening to you and you're still lying. And I hope that the DOJ looks through a whole bunch of stuff and figures out what to do about this. Tucker simply showed unedited footage from January 6th. But that unedited footage destroyed the Democrat narrative that Republicans represent a threat to democracy, which we'll indicate was a factor in GOP underperforming in November's midterms. And Democrats are in a frenzy because they know they've been caught red-handed pushing outright propaganda. Well, I certainly agree that Democrats are in a frenzy because they know they've been caught red-handed pushing outright propaganda. But it's not true that polls show that the attempt to portray Republicans as a threat to democracy was a factor in the GOP underperforming in November's midterm. That was a stolen election, just as much as 2020 was a stolen election. Catholics, Hispanics, suburban white women were all moving to the GOP before the midterm. It was going to be an overwhelming red wave, no doubt about it. I checked the polls before, I checked the polls after, to the extent there were exit polls that confirmed all those groups moved to the right. James Carville implied the Democrats had stolen 57 House seats from the Republicans, blaming it on Trump. But the people loved Donald Trump. I mean, this is completely absurd. Wait till I share with you the latest polls. This is all propaganda. This is all an effort to gain plausible deniability for an election theft by making claims like this, namely that it was because the Republicans tried to overthrow the government on January 6th that they lost at the polls. Bullshit! We'll be right back.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
I can't get over how good is that piece by Alistair Crook. You just have to reread that, because that's a deep and discerning dissection of what's going on in American and Western politics as I've ever encountered. Profound. Whoopi comes as no surprise as an idiot. I mean, I've seen enough of The View to understand it's just a left-wing white woman, say, Whoopi, talking about why the Republicans are so bad. And the reasoning is generally pathetic, of which the latest from Whoopi is a stellar instance. Get this now, just out today. A shocking new poll led to one result that'll leave Donald Trump at a loss for words, actually grinning from ear to ear. The polling data is starting to pour in for the 2024 presidential election, and the results are not what anyone was expecting. In fact, a shocking new poll led to one result that will leave Donald Trump at a loss for words. Back in January, a University of New Hampshire poll showed Florida Governor Ron DeSantis leading Trump by 12 points in the all-important first-in-the-nation New Hampshire primary. 8 weeks later, the landscape changed dramatically. A new Emerson poll ended like a thunderclap, showing Donald Trump leading Ron DeSantis by 41 points, 58-17% in New Hampshire. 41 points. Let me say, that tells me right off the bat that initial poll was wacky. The Daily Caller reports Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is down 41 percentage points in New Hampshire, an important early primary state, while former President Donald Trump, rails ahead with a 2024 GOP nomination, a new poll shows. DeSantis only received 17% of support when Republican primary voters were asked which candidate they preferred. And the former president topped the poll with 58% of the votes. New Hampshire's Republican Governor Chris Sununu garnered 7% of the votes, though the same poll shows he has a 64% approval rating among the state GOP voters. Other polling data from January suggested that DeSantis was up in New Hampshire by 12 percentage points, but the next week, the former president pulled ahead by 11. Other polling data shows a shift toward Donald Trump. Trump is clearly benefiting from the fact that DeSantis is not yet a declared candidate. Trump commanded the attention of the political world for his trip to East Palestine, Ohio, following the train derailment. Trump also turned out video after video outlining his policy agenda for his second term, including declaring Mexican drug cartels terrorist organizations, ending the war in Ukraine, and stopping big tech censorship. On the other hand, Trump is surging at a time when Fox imposed a soft ban on Trump and his family members to keep him off the air. Once DeSantis declares as a candidate and begins appearing regularly on the network, Fox will have to put Trump back on the air. At that point, it will be game on in the GOP nomination. Let me just say, as you all know, I've had a few more rounds with presidents and elections in the United States than most of you in my audience. I'll tell you, in my lifetime, now 82 years of age, no candidate has ever been demonized, harassed, attacked more unmercifully and less justly than Donald J. Trump. It's just stunning. The Democrats are scared shitless of Donald Trump. That's why there's been two or even three impeachment attempts, all this January 6th nonsense, releasing his taxes, a raid on Mar-a-Lago. None of this was warranted. None of it. None of it. And attacking him for the big lie when the election was so blatantly and obviously stolen. Going to the extent of fabricating this January 6th event. Grotesque. Grotesque. The Democrat Party has become a sham institution. It's not for real. It's a party of liars, phonies, and frauds. Absolutely stunning stuff. Meanwhile, here we have further confirmation. January 6th video footage further proves that the federal government is illegitimate and criminal. This article was started 4 days ago when Tucker promised to release far more damning evidence from the J6 video footage throughout the remainder of the week. Since then, this Substack, and this is coming from the guy who calls himself the second smartest in the world, a real smart guy, the Substack has been Wayne Tucker Carlson follow-up reports, which have to date been censored by Fox. Tucker assured his viewership yesterday he will release all of the evidence, even if his network continues denying him his journalistic rights and subverting his employment contract, which stipulates that he has final cut on his news stories. In the meantime, but Tucker has managed to release offers irrefutable proof that the mainstream media and the Uniparty are all actively working against we the people. Our politicians are not just mendacious malefactors or subverting the very Constitution they swore to uphold, but they continue to lie after they have been caught fabricating J6 evidence in their kangaroo court. Video footage literally shows the exact opposite of what they've been peddling for over 2 years now. Not a single police officer died that day, despite the claim that five were murdered. And yet five innocent protesters were killed. This is the very same reality inversion that was perpetrated during the COVID scam and the associated slow-kill bioweapon injections that are still being touted by these very same grifter politicians as safe and effective. To this very day, innocent, peaceful protesters remain jailed in the foreign nation of Washington, D.C. on wholly fraudulent charges. This is an outrage. The only violent elements of the J6 protests were the FBI and CIA agents who are embedded as agents provocateur. In other words, federal government operatives broke all kinds of laws on January 6 in order to entrap innocent patriots peacefully and rightfully protesting an unlawful election. And this election theft was in no small part made possible by the very agencies who had deployed their taxpayer-funded saboteurs to the J6 protests in order to ensure the optics of domestic terror violence, thus attempting to further strip away all legitimacy to the claim that the elections were stolen. Even if the election were hypothetically not stolen, Americans would still have the right to protest as per the law of the land. Disclaimer, this Substack is vehemently apolitical. Of course, we now have even more evidence that not only was a presidential election stolen in plain sight, but that the federal government working under an installed Biden regime is guilty of crimes against the Constitution or crimes against we the people. Here we have a tweet from the Columbia Bugle. They're freaking out big time. Senator Schumer went down to the Senate floor this morning to condemn Tucker Carlson's January 6 tape segment last night. Call for Fox News and Rupert Murdoch to stop Tucker from releasing another report on the January 6 tapes. The Uniparty realizes that their time is rapidly nearing its end, as Americans see through this charade of government. More as organized statist crime. Therefore, no American needs to comply with any law or mandate or agency functioning outside the scope of the exceedingly limited Bill of Rights. The 10th Amendment rule of construction is especially germane in the J6 contents of the federal government's deliberate treason. Accusing innocent people of sedition is a kind of projection onto the masses as a preemptive strike for the crimes that the government itself has been committing. J6 goes far beyond governmental overreach. Here he adds a quote from James Madison, the principal author of the Constitution. The powers delegated by the proposed Constitution to the federal government are few and defined. Those which are to remain in the state governments are numerous and indefinite. The blow tweets offer both mirth and context regarding the January 6 farce. Here's one from Silent Majority. When you show up to the Capitol building in face paint and a buffalo hat, Disclosed TV tweeting, police acted as a tour guard for the QAnon Shannon. Jack Pacific, what the funk, breaking. Never before seen video on January 6th shows Jacob Chansley, the QAnon shaman, being led through the Capitol by police the entire time he was in the building. The police were directed by federal agents to grant access and escort peaceful protesters. This is entrapment 101. The Columbia Bugle again, breaking. Tucker Carlson first report on the never-before-seen January 6 tapes. The footage does not show an insurrection or a riot in progress. Instead, it shows police escorting protesters through the building, including the now infamous QAnon shaman. More reality inversion brainwashing by the mainstream exposed. Jack Posobiec again, breaking. Tucker has obtained footage of Brian Sicknick walking around the Capitol healthy after the media claimed he had been killed by Trump supporters. Compare these January 6th domestic terrorists with the real domestic terrorists who were finally arrested long after their crimes were committed, and only because the overwhelming evidence had become impossible for the government to continue to whitewash. Greg Price tweets. One of the Antifa members arrested on domestic terrorism charges in Atlanta last night is a staff attorney with a Southern Poverty Law Center. The FBI has historically used the SPLC as a source for those who should be considered domestic terrorists. More. Southern Poverty Law Center is the one world government node that is aiding and abetting the federal government in destroying America. Is it any wonder that deranged Antifa lawyers are employed by this nonprofit? Billy Heath III tweets, construction site burns, huge plumes of smoke and massive police response after Defend ATL for a Stop Cop City protesters face off with police at the site of Atlanta's future public safety training facility. I'm told Molotov cocktails were thrown. Construction equipment is on fire. Violent Antifa rioters remains largely uncovered by the mainstream, while peaceful protesters get nonstop coverage and evidence tampering in the form of dramatic sound effects. CIA creation and Manchurian candidate Obama appointed federal judges are allowing for these government January 6 crimes to continue. ALX tweets, the real villains here are the federal judges in D.C. who have allowed the government to play every game to keep this evidence out of the hands of defendants, violating their oath to protect the rights of defendants and their due process rights. Indeed. The installed senile adult diaper shitting, ice cream licking pedo criminal puppet is nothing more than a placeholder for Obama's third term. And this politicized joke of an attorney general continues to lie in plain sight. The vigilant Fox tweets, Tucker calls Merrick Garland a liar after alleging five officers were killed on January 6. Joe Biden's Attorney General Merrick Garland is a liar. He just lied about something that is provably false. No police officers died that day on January 6. None. Not one. Another low IQ grade puppet of the American ideological state apparatus continues to lie despite undeniable video evidence. Greg Price tweets, Jean-Pierre condemns Tucker Carlson for telling a false depiction about January 6th and then says it was a violent attack that cost police officers their lives. No police officers were killed on January 6th. It's just astounding. It is astounding. The liars, the phonies, the frauds in Washington, D.C. were in the most repulsive political situation of my lifetime by far. The liars, the phonies, the frauds. Absolutely stunning. Absolutely stunning. And as you can see, all the pieces fit together. When you go back to the groupthink diagnosis of altering the intelligence of the policy to generate a predetermined outcome, Bill Clinton, surprise, surprise, Dick Cheney, the team B. Cheney wasn't happy with the actual estimates that Iraq had no weapons of mass destruction, so he fabricated evidence to support it. He fabricated evidence to support it. And then attacked anyone who took a contrary stance. It's a little surprise his daughter follows in his tradition of being a traitor to the United States. I mean, any figure in high position who would promote a war with another nation based on fabricated or false evidence does not deserve to hold that office. And that is every bit as true of Liz Cheney as it was true of her father. Just disgusting. Here's another story, by the way, about the bank. Outrageous. Silicon Valley Bank provided massive amounts of capital to Chinese tech ventures. Now the Biden, FDIC, and Federal Reserve are bailing it out. Clearly, Biden is working for China. The Silicon Valley Bank has served as a huge bridge to China and Chinese tech engineers. Is this why the corrupt Biden gang is bailing it out? Just this morning, the U.S. House reported they have the goods on the Biden corrupt and criminal action with China. The Bidens are in bed with a corrupt China regime, and the House has the evidence. The Bidens have received money from the Chinese Communist Party. Related to this is the failing bank, the Silicon Valley Bank, which provides massive amounts of funding to the Chinese venture capital sector. The South China Morning Post noted the bridge between the bank and China. The collapse of Silicon Valley Bank has created a sense of panic within China's tech, startup, and venture capital sector, as a lender served as a bridge between U.S. capital and Chinese tech enterprises. As of Sunday afternoon, topics related to the collapse of the bank, including SVB bankruptcy, has spread to multiple countries, and SVB bankruptcy affects Chinese entrepreneurs, or trending on Chinese microblogging site Weibo, with posts receiving hundreds of billions of views. Is the 2008 financial crisis happening again? Said a Weibo user with the handle Max C. China is the second largest venture capital market, and SVB was right in the middle of it, according to TechCrunch. Quote, China, the world's second largest venture capital market. Across social media platforms, investors and startups are rushing to share new articles on the fiasco and thoughts on how to prevent such a catastrophic moment. For some companies, however, their impact is tangible. When China was still new to venture capital in the late 1990s, SVB was among the first financial institutions to start serving the country's startups, while traditional risk-averse banks avoided them. Over time, the bank has become a popular option for China-based startup fundraising in the U.S. dollar, as well as some China-focused U.S. dollar venture capital firms. Late today, it was reported that the Biden regime is going to have its FDIC and Federal Reserve make good on all deposits in the bank, a significant portion of which are Chinese-owned accounts. To summarize, the Bidens are in the tank with China. SVB has a significant amount of capital invested with Chinese ventures, and the Biden admin will make sure none of the Chinese companies lose money. Biden is not working for America. He's working for China. None of that comes as any surprise to those of us who have been paying attention. No one ought to have any doubt about it. No one. And here's another report. Breaking. FDIC to make good all deposits at Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank. The Treasury Department announced in a joint statement Sunday evening with the Federal Reserve and FDIC that all deposits at Silicon Valley Bank. The Treasury Department announced in a joint statement Sunday evening with the Federal Reserve and FDIC that all deposits at Silicon Valley Bank will be made available on Monday. The same for Signature Bank, which was taken over Sunday by New York State regulators. That statement says a special assessment will be made on FDIC member banks to cover any losses and that taxpayers will not bear the cost of any loss. Have you ever heard such bullshit in your life? FDIC will also make additional funds available to member banks in case of more runs. The move to backstop the banks has been made to stave off runs on banks Monday morning and to prevent systemic failure of businesses with funds in the banks. The normal FDIC guarantee is to cover up to $250,000 in losses. However, exceptions have been made in the past to cover all deposits, as is being done for SVB and Signature in this case.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11, available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, the phone lines are open for your calls about any of the above or other issues you'd like to address. I'll mention in passing, tomorrow, the 14th of March, is Einstein's birthday. And a group concerned with 9/11 truth has organized a debate between yours truly and Michael Shermer, who's a founder of the Skeptic magazine. Just to give you a little background on the two of us, Shermer earned his PhD in the history of science from Claremont, Iron Mind in the philosophy of science from Indiana. Shermer did his undergraduate at Pepperdine, where he earned a BS. I did my undergraduate at Princeton, where I earned a BA. He's a founder and editor-chief of Skeptic magazine, whereas I'm the founder of Scholars for 9/11 Truth. He had, at the time of this posting, 6,199 citations, yielding a Hirsch index of 29. Mine, I had 4,202 with a Hirsch index of 34. Now, just to give you an understanding about a Hirsch index, it really represents the number of articles you have with a corresponding number of citations. So if you had a Hirsch index at 29, that would mean you had 29 articles, or as of the time, so let's say minimally 29 articles, each of which has received at least 29 citations, or mine, 34 articles with at least 34 citations, and I know my number of sites has gone up, but I have no doubt so too has Shermer. Now the question becomes, is he going to show up? And if he doesn't, and the event is going to be hosted by Kevin Barrett, if Shermer doesn't show up, my understanding is what we're going to do is to play clips from various interviews Shermer has done in the past, to which I shall respond. So, you know, if it's not a real live debate because one of the participants declines to show, then we're going to have an ersatz version that I think will accomplish the objective of having an exchange of views between Shermer, who's a supporter of the 9/11 Commission, as difficult as that may be to believe, and myself, of course, is a critic. So we'll see how it all plays out. Mitchell, the lines are open, 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452. I'd welcome your comments, Mitchell. I know how you have your own show. You're on top of these issues. Give me your thoughts about the bank bailout, for example, if you would, my friend.
Well, fractionalized banking, Jim. No bank has your money. I don't care who what depositor you are. You'll be lucky to get your shit out of your safe deposit box. When you deposit money into a bank, you are an unsecured creditor. You got about as much chance as a credit card company. Period. End of story.
You make it sound as though our situation with these banks is, shall we say, insecure.
Well, let's just say, let the fornication begin. Honestly, Jim, I mean, no bank has any of the money that their depositors put in the bank. That's the magic of this money supply that we have. The banks create the money that they want to make out on a loan out of thin air. And then they have to stand by it, stand for it, for something, for somebody. And whose money is sacrificed or used so somebody else can make the money? It's your money. It's somebody else's money. That's the thing about business. Never use your own money. Always use somebody else's. And here's the thing. Was it 92 or 97% of the alleged deposits in Silicon Valley Bank are over the $250,000 insured level? And I just have to say, tough shit. If you have that much money and you are that careless with your financial assets, then the government shouldn't be coming in to bail your ass out. One of the other reasons that's not being said is that there are, we know the royals, you know, Kate and whatever, William or whatever the hell his name is, you know, we know they had some of their money in there, and Oprah and everybody else. The truth is that it doesn't matter where you are. Your deposits are not going to be covered. Your ass is hanging wide open and you have zero recourse. And it's the sad, honest truth about the Rothschild bankster system. Now, what I will say is that this I don't believe that this will be contained, just for the simple fact that it's a designed burn. You know, it's designed to kill currency. It's designed to kill your money and your cash. How else are they going to scare everybody into a central bank digital currency if they don't burn the financial system we have today to the ground? What do you think?
Well, I think it's highly plausible. You know, never let a crisis go to waste. When that John Podesta's theme song, Obama's chief of staff, you know, with whom he had the tour de
force. Rahm Emanuel.
His
theme song. But the truth is, you know, these are all manufactured crises. Our monetary system had been overextended. And as far as I can remember, every financial expert worth anything was trying to figure out and determine how this corrupted system has been staying afloat for so long. And, you know, we've been expecting a crash now for 8 to 10 years, and it hasn't happened. And then we had the scamdemic with the planned release of the virus and the artificial takedown of the economy so the banksters won't get blamed. This financial crisis isn't something that's just happened. This is happening now because they have something else to blame the crash on. And if you look back through the history of the central bank crashes, they clearly are, most of them are not only planned, but, you know, it's a creative destruction of the economy so it can be rebuilt with more control, more central bank, more central fascist system control. That makes sense.
Oh, I think everything you're saying makes a lot of sense, my friend, a lot of sense. All the Chinese involvement, all the evidence of Biden corruption, all the evidence that this is a crime family, doesn't matter. Everyone can believe that Biden is corrupt. No one can want him to be president. And yet, because they control the electronic voting system, he'll be reelected again and again. The midterm was an atrocity. Nobody wanted a continuation of the Democrats in control of either the House or the Senate. And it, to me, it is just, I mean, the repulsive is not a strong enough word. I mean, it's nauseating that we're in the grip of these electronic voting machines that do not allow us to make any difference to the future direction of our country. And everyone's got to understand that unless we can get rid of the voting machine, that doesn't make a goddamn bit of difference what's going to go down here, who the Democrats are going to run. They're going to win every damn election they want. The business with John Fetterman on the one hand, one side of the country, and Katie Hobbs on the other, demonstrate conclusively they can put up anyone, no matter how incompetent or unqualified, no matter how much of a nitwit, and win the election, and that the judiciary, and this is tragic, is going to back them up. I mean, it's just disgusting. The machines are very clever. They're designed to make the total number of votes come out the right way, but they've changed the outcome of the voting. Remember, the motto of Dominion voting machines is changing the way you vote. And as I emphasize, from Republican to Democrat. That's what they're doing. They're changing the way you vote. It doesn't matter who the hell you cast your vote for. They're going to make it come out to benefit the Democrats. And Mitchell, I just cannot stop hammering this point home. Until we get rid of electronic voting machines, we are screwed.
Well, James, as a former commander of a Marine Corps training depot, you more than understand the power of systemic brainwashing and essentially trying to erase a recruit's prior programming, whatever that may be, and download and install a, you know, a Marine Corps based training in that person. So I'm sure you can understand that we are facing much more than just a machine scam here. We are facing literally the psychological manipulation by what should be termed as the Jim Jones media, that if you don't drink the Kool-Aid, number one, you're exercised, and number two, if you do drink the Kool-Aid, well, you just let's just say you commit suicide with everybody else. And today, I don't believe, you know, as I have said before, that story from Zero Hedge with the talking about the five psychological operations and programs that we are kind of living living in this Truman world today. To do anything, you have to get past that. And remember, the Republican hyphen or Democrat hyphen Republican Party is the uniparty that's in power and control. You know, it's hard enough getting people to realize, to accept and internalize the conspiracies that we talk about here on your show and other shows, let alone the basic psychological truths that they live by, but they are oblivious to what the rules and the dogma that they actually live by and internalize. So I think until we get past, you know, the socialized mind control, whether it's Marxism or Jim Crow Jr., if that's what you want to call it, and until we can get past a lot of this mind control, I don't think anybody is going to make any headway anywhere.
Well, if we don't fix the means they're using to control the outcome of elections, we are utterly lost. Even if every one of us is convinced that the country is going in the wrong direction, and the overwhelming majority, 70-80% prior to the midterm, Mitchell, were convinced the country was going in the wrong direction. We're in the past. That single factor has been an indicator as to which way a midterm election would turn out. So it ought to have been an overwhelming red wave. But it didn't materialize, and they claimed it was because January 6th and the like, but that was just a subterfuge. That was just a matter of giving a little lie to conceal a big lie in the monstrous theft of the election that's been taking place. And the techniques they're using are so classically tyrannical and dictatorial. It's embarrassing. The Democrat Party is no longer, in my opinion, a legitimate political party. It's a shell of itself. It's a criminal enterprise headed by Joe Biden, but actually run by Barack Obama, Valerie Jarrett, Susan Rice, George Soros, and others behind the scene. I suspect you and I agree with that.
Yes. Most certainly. We have, we are in this fight for the future of America. I know in the past we've had, there's been discussions, and a lot of times that may have seemed, over the top hyperbole. I think I said that right. That it's not today. I was reading, 900,000 illegal immigrants since the beginning of the federal calendar. This year alone is what I'm saying.
Yeah, the plan, I'm convinced, is they're bringing 100 million illegals into the United States in this very brief period of time to permanently change the demographics of America, Joe and Mitchell, and they're well on their way.
Well, Jim, they did look at how they're breaking down the political structures of Europe. They have done the same thing in Canada. They have done the same thing in Mexico. And now they're trying to do it to the United States of America. And I don't know if you're aware that the Obrador, the socialist president of Mexico, has said that he is considering starting to run ad campaigns targeting Republicans. Because the simple fact is, people like Dan Crenshaw, myself, in all honesty, and others have pretty much said that the Mexican drug cartels need to be treated as terrorist organizations. And they absolutely do. I do not go by the idea that they are drug cartels. They are warlords. It's organized crime that is violent and that the country cannot control. And people won't like to hear this, but until those people are eliminated, you will not have peace. Period. End of story. Until thugs and thieves and crooks and scumbags are, well, crippled so they can't do it anymore, or they're shot and killed. It's unfortunate that that's what it takes for people to learn. But it's the unfortunate reality that, you know, the West was won by effectively getting rid of the criminals. And as they, you know, when you jacked a horse, you know, that was a hanging offense. Today, you know, you jack a car, you may not even get probation. You know, and whether people want to admit it or not, you know, your old car to most people is their livelihood. That they can't replace it. You steal somebody's car, to me, it's like stealing somebody's horse. So, yeah. You know, Jim, there is no rule of law that is adhered by. Until people essentially get the message that you break into somebody's house, you're going to get shot and killed, people won't stop doing it. Until people, and then, of course, you and I both know, there will be people that will continue. Iran has death penalty for drugs, for most drugs, not even soft drugs, but, you know, heroin, cocaine, all that stuff. But they still have addicts in Iran. I'm not saying that's the answer. I'm just trying to point out that we're dealing with human beings, and because people are so variable from one person to another, people are totally different. And you cannot have the same standards of everything for everybody at the same time. But at the same time, you have to have minimum standards of punishment to hold people accountable. I don't know if I should say this. Oh, gosh, man. I know a guy right now that is probably going to get life in prison because he killed some girl. Why he did? I mean, this is alleged. A witness says he shot the woman in the back of the head. And I know this guy from years ago, and, you know, he's been in a lot of trouble in and out of jails and stuff, but I never thought that he would brutally murder somebody by shooting them in the back of the head, then shot them twice, allegedly, according to the witness that was there. And, you know, what I can't explain it. I mean, I just figured the guy got really deep into drugs and was in and out of prison, and he just, I don't know if he was high on meth or drugs or whatever at the time he did it either. But I suspect it was something around that. But, you know, I can't explain what people do. Jim, if I wish I could, I'd have a shitload more money. But, you know, we all have to be ourselves and do the best we can. And why people do the things they do, whether it's the elite or whether it's the crazy sheeple down on the bottom end of that spectrum and everybody in between. Gosh, that's a really big question. But we cannot just give up and give ourselves over to our feelings or just some no direction at all. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, I've always been struggling with was to take control. I got great leadership skills, and every time there's a crisis, you know, I just go into action. Otherwise than that, I just, you know, I just want to sit back and enjoy my R&R, so to speak. But I can't do that anymore. I'm going to have to, I have to take charge and show leadership now. So things will change, Jim. They definitely will.
Well, Mitchell, I appreciate all that commentary. Excellent. Useful. I want to encourage everyone to go to my blog, jameshfetzer.org, and reread that piece about the intelligence being shaped up at the policy, because it really strikes deep and why the country is going to have such a very hard time reconciling, because those who have been fooled are going to be very resistant to acknowledging they have been fooled. They have been lied to such big time, and by the Democrat Party over and over and over again. The Democrat Party has become the greatest source of propaganda in the world today. And just to add a final thought, Mitchell, we've had presidents before who were corrupt. We've had administrations that were corrupt. But the dimensions now, the degree of corruption is unprecedented here. Unprecedented. Mm-hmm. Thanks for joining us. See you on Wednesday.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence